T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
It's Todd Feinberg. It's Todd Feinberg. Monday through Friday, 3 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
WTIC. Did you hear that minimum wage is going up again? And the amazing thing is they're bragging about it. The governor talked about it with other Democrats, like they had done something good by intervening again in the economy with a really stupid idea to artificially raise the pay of people by law, intervene into a marketplace, which the only thing government can do to a marketplace is mess it up. And their goal is to mess it up on behalf of a particular group of voters whose votes they want to get. So they passed this bill a few years ago that automatically raises the cost of workers at a time where the costs are already crushing business opportunity and job growth. The governor runs around bragging about how there's 100,000 unfilled jobs, like that's a good thing, like he's this great magician who's created all this economic demand. No, it's not that he's created the economic demand. It's that he's created the impediment to hiring by having a big bloated government going around messing with things it's got no business messing with. It's so ridiculous having a forced $15 wage for people who might be worth $8 or $9 or $10 in the marketplace. I'm not saying they are. I'm not saying anyone's not valuable. I'm saying the market has to decide that, not pandering politicians who pretend to care about people. 860-522-9842. We've got rants coming up. We take phone calls during rants. Rant line number 751-4690.
It's the Todd Feinberg Show, live from the NJ Diet Studios on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Well, that's about right. We've gotten to the rant line part of the program. I just wanted to play you something. I don't know where the beginning of it is, though. We have to find it together.
The programs that are labeled as being for the poor, for the needy, almost always have effects exactly the opposite.
This is Milton Friedman talking about Ned Lamont and the minimum wage being hiked. These crazy Democrats who only care about buying votes and not about the best interests of the state.
Of those which their well-intentioned sponsors intend them to have.
As an example, what are you referring to?
Let me give you a very simple example. Take the minimum wage law. It's well-meaning sponsors. There are always, in these cases, two groups of sponsors. There are the well-meaning sponsors, and there are the special interests who are using the well-meaning sponsors as front men.
Now, this is old, so it may be there aren't any well-meaning ones anymore. That would be my theory, that it's very minimal, anybody who's actually dumb enough to think that these are good policies.
Almost always when you have bad programs, have an unholy coalition of the do-gooders on the one hand and the special interests on the other. The minimum wage law is as clear a case as you could want. The special interests are, of course, the trade unions.
All right. That was like 30 or 40 years ago. This is not new stuff. It's bad policy has always been bad policy. What's new is that they've spent years and years indoctrinating people into thinking communist policies are better than liberty-based policies. That's all that's happened. 860-522-9842. And that brings us to our rants.
Hey, Todd, President Trump here, and what a heck of a day. Frankly, what an incredible day. Finally, Ronnie, the sanctimonious, has jumped in the great race. Well, this is my race, Todd, and you know he's going to be bringing up warp speed, and he's going to be bringing up so many things that I handled correctly. Well, let me tell you something. I'm ready to rumble with the sanctimonious like it's 2016. It's going to be a mafia-style takedown, no holds bar. Ronnie, get ready, Ronnie.
Do you not think, though, that Trump needs a better nickname for DeSanctimonious than DeSanctimonious? Who even knows what that means?
Hi, Todd. It's the American Patriot. And today's rant is about Ron DeSantis' failed launch on Twitter for his presidential bid. I mean, can you really make this stuff up? The guy is a stumbling idiot who basically is ruining Florida by the day. And now he tries to launch...
Now, I happen to think the great American Patriot is better with the explosion. But that's just me. Oh, Matt's calling from Bristol. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
What's up?
Can I off subject for a second?
Sure.
And
there is no subject.
Back from yesterday.
Yes, go right ahead. There's no subject.
Okay. So... tried to call in yesterday about the Michael Leibowitz call. I tried.
Well, you don't have to talk about your trying to call yesterday. We can talk today about what you want to say right now.
Some of the things he said, like I'm a big advocate of Michael Leibowitz. I've always liked what he said, but the things he was saying yesterday about the border not being sovereign of the United States and saying, you know, if someone gets on your property, well, then you have a right to defend it, but the United States doesn't have the right to defend their property. Well, there's a fallacy.
I'm sorry, we're getting a little breakup on your phone. Are you in a weird spot or anything you might correct? It's kind of flickering in and out.
Okay. Trying my best. Yeah, my coverage is terrible. So he was talking about the border not being sovereign for the United States and not having the right to defend that border. But yet, if it's your own property, you do have the right to defend that border. Well, first of all, the border of the United States is private property. It's kind of like a collective private property that we've all put into. We've all put money into making the country what it is year after year, generation after generation. Second of all, you always like to bring things to their logical conclusion. Well, if there is no United States border, how can you own property? How can you own a piece of land in a country that doesn't have a border and doesn't exist? The whole argument made no sense to me.
Well, the trouble with it, I think, is that it's too big of a bite to chew off of the bone with that little time to explain it. And he didn't really spend time setting it up. He just kind of threw it out there. So it was hard to grasp. And I had that problem, too, because he was stating it in more absolute terms than I've heard it before. But I can say that the premise is that the world works better if individuals are free. And the libertarian goal would be to have everybody free in every way possible. And that would include that we can flow over borders in order to do the same things liberty-wise that we want to be able to do in our own country liberty-wise, and that is to not have government telling us anything that we need to do, to have government be a thing that we set up, particularly the federal government, in order to solve problems for us, but not to create power for itself. So that would include that they don't, you know, that there wouldn't be local zoning under his vision of this, which I think, go ahead.
Local zoning, I understand, but a sovereign border, that's taking it from libertarian to complete naive utopian territory. It's absurd because, like you said, what's an invasion? He said, oh, well, if an invading country comes in, okay, then we do have a right. Well, what's an invasion? 10 people, 1,000 people, 1,000,000 people? Only if they have weapons? What constitutes an invasion? The whole concept was flawed. It made no sense to me. And I really wanted to get in yesterday while it was fresh in my mind.
Yeah, I took him to the end of the show, and then the phone lines lit up. So I should have done it earlier. But I just didn't know that that's where we're going to end up and that it was going to be of such interest. But we'll do another topic on it, and I'll have him on, and then you can call up and talk to him about it, okay?
I appreciate that. Thank you, boy.
Thank you, Matt. The only thing I would add is that you've got to open your heart to the concepts in order to, I think, get to that point where it makes sense to you. Because if you start with the logical point of libertarian beliefs, for me, which is that each person owns the right to his own passions, his own dreams, his own desires, and everything he earns. Nobody has a right to take away what we earn. Fundamental premise, I think, of a liberty-based system. Nobody has a right to take away what we earn. And that means that everything is built around that individual sovereignty. So if I want to walk down to Mexico City to do a job and then take an airliner back, like, nobody should be making me produce any papers or anything like that. That's the premise. And that government is the destroyer of things. The government's never been needed. It's just that there's always people running around with guns trying to force government on us and doing things like declaring there has to be a minimum wage when all minimum wage does is hurt workers. We'll have more conversations about it. It's good stuff.
Hey, Todd, I wonder what percentage of the people in this Tolland road rage incident were illegal invaders with nothing to lose. I bet you it's around 20%. Bye-bye.
Yeah, but so what if it's 20% compared to, that would mean 80% are indulged, well-off Americans who are simply taking advantage of the fact that government is messing around with policy and making policy that is not in the best interest of the people.
Hi, it's Chrissy. Here's a rant for you. So a lot of times we take our older cat now out. We take him out everywhere. We take him to grocery stores. We take him everywhere. And I love when people look at me and they look at the cat and they're like, is that a cat? No, it's a dog dressed up for Halloween as a cat. Seriously?
I don't get what was wrong with the cat that made people ask if it was a dog, though. Evan's calling from Bark Hampstead. Hello, Evan.
Hey, Todd. Just a couple points on the debt ceiling. I just want to make your viewers aware of something that Fox News refuses to tell them. So the debt ceiling limit and increase that either needs to happen or we need to cut spending enough where we don't have to increase it is an increase because we're paying for things we already voted on. So we're not.
You mean that they already voted on, that they put into the budget?
Yeah. Exactly. So we're not voting on like new spending, as an example. We're voting to pay for the things that they already passed,
yes,
which includes $9 trillion of Trump's tax cuts and the pandemic stimulus packages under both his administration and the Republicans who voted it through Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is the main hang-up so far seems to be between McCarthy and Biden on wanting to cap spending at pre-2022 levels, which on the surface makes sense to me because I'm also for reduction in spending, especially when we're overspending and adding to national debt. But McCarthy, right out of the gate, takes 30% of our spending off the table, which is military spending. So right out of the gate, we're just taking 30% off and we're saying we can't touch that. Mm-hmm. And I don't really understand why. We already spend more than the next 10 nations combined per year. Not only that, but we actually spent more than they asked us to spend in their own budget, and they fail. The military fails their audit every single year on allocating spending and tracking it. So why are we taking that off the table?
I assume so he could hold that till the last minute and then throw them a bone off of that to make a deal. But I would
guarantee you that McCarthy is not going to say, I agree on reducing military spending.
Well, if you're correct on that, then he's going to, you know, that reduces his zone of compromise, which he's got to have something he's going to give to try to make a deal happen, unless they think they can just dump it all on the Democrats. But that sounds like it's what's that thing they used to do in those 50s movies? Oh, Game of Chicken.
That's what they're doing. They're playing with all of our lives and safety and happiness by playing chicken with each other.
But I agree with you on the military. I mean, it's nuts to have the largest line item that we've got, I think, is military spending. It's upwards of $1 trillion a year. And to say that you never put any downward pressure on that and they're always going to spend efficiently, that's nuts.
Todd, I'll tell you, just so your listeners don't come back at me, I am not for cutting military spending for salaries of military members or the equipment or weaponry that they use or military health care, veteran health care. In fact, that should be increased. I'm for cutting the bloated, you know, F-16 project that failed.
But I think that other than payroll, I would think that that applies to everything. They just waste money. Why wouldn't they? There's no pressure on them to be efficient on anything.
Yeah, I agree. I just wanted to make it clear that I support drastically and wholeheartedly the actual members of the military.
Yes, which I think is all they want to do because it's such an important voting bloc, and that's why nobody tells the truth on this stuff. Evan, thank you. Let's get another rant in.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Governor Ned Lamont, and I'm just gonna blurt out what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw my hat in the ring for president for the next election. Yeah, if Rick DeSantis can do it, then I can do it. Because we all know that Connecticut's more important state than Florida. Florida's just a bunch of alligators down there, and swamp people and stuff like that. But up here in Connecticut, we have important people. Like down there in Greenwich, where I'm from, and I haven't really had to work in since I was a little kid. So things are doing really good, and the state of Connecticut is doing good, and people are paying their taxes, and everybody's happy. So I think the whole nation could vote for me for president. That would be wonderful, president. I can't believe it, but I'm gonna throw my hat in the ring. So you be ready. Ladies and gentlemen, all right, take care. Bye.
I do believe that's how Ned feels about himself.
Hi, I just want to say that all the LGBTQ ampersand plus, all those people saying that they don't want corporate America using their rainbow anymore because they were just using them, that's air quotes. I just want to let them know that they don't own the rainbow. I am a cisgender male, and I love looking at the rainbow. Just saying. Have a good day.
860-522-9842. We'll take more phone calls, play more rants. Coming up, it's Reese Day at 540. Reese on the radio, should be on the radio. And Mark Christopher in the BPS.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Warriors Traffic Center. Every day is Mark's day. He never gets a break. Hey, Mark.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah. Good time of year this is. Let's talk to Mark in Goshen. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Todd, how are you? I just had something to say about the border. I think some of the open border libertarians are missing one of the finer points about the border, which is it does not only does it protect.
Yes. Mark. Let's try Todd in Unionville. Hello, Todd.
You know, I was listening to Lebo yesterday, and I couldn't figure out why I was kind of enraged with what he had to say. And then after I calmed down and I had a chance to think about it, he reaches the most logical conclusion if you're going to believe in libertarianism.
If you follow the logic, you have to believe in libertarianism, I think.
Right. But the problem, okay, and this is the problem with Lebo's argument, is that you have the nature of man is in direct conflict with that. Otherwise, we wouldn't have any laws anywhere. We would be able to walk around free without anybody encumbering us because everybody would have an ethical quality about them, which would allow them to walk around and not have the laws in place, right? So if you look at what's happened even in our own society, and it is the nature of man, or there would never been jails, there would never be laws, we wouldn't need laws, right? And therefore, you could be as libertarian as you want. The problem is it goes against the nature of man. So now you have to go to philosophy, right? And you have to leave the realm of ideological political beliefs and go over to philosophy and say, you know, how does it work practically? And the problem is it doesn't work practically.
Well, the only thing that leaves out, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but we're running out of time, and it's a really interesting point you're making. But the thing is that if you don't imagine a world in which where everybody is embracing the idea that we have to make our country work together, then you can't imagine a world in which that can work. If you just look at our world as it is and try to plug that in, it doesn't work because we're not our culture is not formed around that premise. But if it was, then we would have certain cultural expectations that would be different. So you've got to really dive in and totally imagine it. Thank you, Todd, for the call. Time for us to get a traffic update. Mark Christopher, BPS Lawyers, Traffic Center. Reese on the radio coming up, Mark. You going to listen in?
Now, back to the Todd Feinberg Show, live from the NJ Diet Studios on WTIC News Talk 1080.
That is sounding good, that stuff. I can't interrupt that. It's unfair you'd ask me to do that. But it's Reese time. Reese on the radio. Hey, Reese. Do we have Reese? Hello, Reese. Well? No Reese has checked in yet. Maybe somebody under another name. Maybe he's using a cover story. We'll see if we can track him down. In the meantime, we can talk and we can play some more rants because we happen to have some rants ready.
It is so difficult watching the press secretary, Jean-Pierre, giving her spiel. It is just one lie after another. Oh,
isn't she painful?
The Republicans are not cutting money for the police. The Republicans do not want to cut money for the military. They do not want to cut money for the senior citizens. Well, Pinocchio would be very proud of her.
860-522-9842. Rant line number 751-4698. We'll go to Goshen, talk to Mark. What's going on, Mark?
Hi, Mark. It's Hi, Todd. How are you doing?
The brain does that.
It does. I hear my own name, and I repeat it to you. I called earlier, and I lost you, but I wanted to say about the border, I think what open border libertarians miss is that there's two functions of the border, at least there should be. And the first is for our government to protect us from foreign threats, but additionally, it's to protect foreigners from our government because it limits our scope to a physical realm. At least it should.
Well, I don't know if that's possible. I mean, if you look at American history, it is.
Oh, it hasn't happened, and you know, we'll instead of legally having a war, we'll have a police action and all these things that are completely unconstitutional. But one thing that should be happening is that our government's limited to governing us.
So the
not the world.
Again, I think that the idea of us self-governing, which is laid out, spelled out in the Constitution and more so in
yep.
the in the Declaration, it's
yep.
it's hard for us to imagine because we've never really practiced it. And it's and at this point, we're so far in the other realm that we don't even realize the extent to which we are dominated by an oppressive government. And most of that oppression is economic. They take inordinate amounts of economic activity out of the economy so they can
absolutely
so they can play around with it and waste it and buy votes with it and destroy the idea of having an electoral system that is representing the will of the people instead of the rigging of the power classes.
No, I agree. I don't think the open border arguments is going to work when there are also, in addition to our government being a threat to us, it's a threat to other countries, and a lot of people in other countries are threats to our citizens as well. So I get the argument. I get that it is a logical path libertarians could take, but I do think that, you know, protecting our rights from foreign threats is one of the very few actual legitimate purposes of our federal government.
Mark, thanks for calling back. I'm glad we got a signal that worked. 860-522-WTIC.
With Nancy leading the way, she'll rescue the economy in the Great Depression.
I had to throw that in again. That was Joe Biden yesterday. Did you hear it?
I heard it.
What do you think, Reese? That's good stuff. Nancy helped. What did he say? She helped bring us back from the Great Depression.
Yeah, apparently so. Nancy Pelosi is doing things, I mean, even she has to wake up in the morning going, I did that.
Prenatally, she did that.
Yeah, she's exactly. I don't know. You know, everyone's keeps having this conversation about what it is that their government is allowed to do versus what it is that they should be doing. I've always had this argument with a lot of my liberal, and I will say African-American liberal, podcasters, friends, personal relationships. You would be surprised at what they believe the role of government is. If you were to talk to these people.
You're talking about leftists?
Leftists, regular, people.
Old-fashioned liberals or woke?
No, old-fashioned liberals. Like, old-fashioned liberals know better, right? But leftists and people who are part of, like, minority groups. Like, if you were to talk to, you know, Latin, Hispanic, or whatever the group is in the inner city, or African-Americans in the inner city, and you were to ask them about the role of government, if you listen to them, you would go, where the hell did you get that idea? Like, it's like civics 101. You know that's not the role of government. But you'd ask them, they would tell you that the role of government is to be involved in your daily lives. In essence, to ensure not just your safety and security, but pretty much your financial.
To make sure everything goes well for you.
Everything goes well. Like, they are responsible for your daily lives.
Yeah.
So government intervention in their lives, they believe that the government plays, if not 50%, more than that, involved in their daily lives. If you were to talk to these average people, you would have talked to them and just go, where did they get this idea from? And that's because it's not education. This is a belief system within those communities. So if you're wondering.
But to be fair, I think it's a belief system that's been cultivated by the people who represent them politically and
clearly.
In their educations, and also the culture of the countries they came from.
Clearly. I mean, if you ask some of the people in the inner city, you know, why you should or should not vote, the response when you ask them that question is, you know, I vote for this group of people because of what they're going to do for me, like what they're going to do for the people. And I keep saying, you know, wait, okay, that's a complete bastardization of what government's supposed to do. I remember when I talked, when I first joined WTIC, It was right around the time when Chris Murphy was doing his usual pilgrimage across the state.
Mm, yes.
And he said, you know, in his statement, he said he was going to ask people in Connecticut what it is that he could do for them, what their needs were. And I said, if you meet Chris Murphy, the first thing that should come out of your mouth is, get out of my way.
Yeah, go away, you know, leave us alone.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, if you want to know what you could do for me, Chris Murphy, get out of my face. I mean, nothing against you, but I need you to get out of the way. And if you were to say that to anyone else in this country, they would go, but no, that's the role of government. They're supposed to be there guiding your hand, guiding society, making sure these things happen and these things don't. And then when people say, well, we have this sort of authoritarian government, here's why. There are people who are in your in the constituency. There are people, your everyday, you know, average Americans, your fellow citizens, who are literally voting for that in general. They want the authoritarianism. They not only want it, they vote for it, and they're hoping that it succeeds.
Well, they don't realize what America was based on that caused it to have all the great outcomes, and how contradictory that is to, I mean, I think of most Americans who grew up going to civics and all that. You know, there's something very disconnected from any spiritual center that the teaching of American civics, they always told us about our system and how wonderful it was. We had all these, the separation of powers and these dynamics that protected one section of government from the other section so that the people could be protected from them being that effective at reaching that many of their goals. Like they have to fight with each other and wear themselves down trying to get things into law. And if you think about what that means, nobody ever said to me in all my years of being taught about American, the American concept, they never said it was because the founders realized the government was such an evil force that it needed to be mitigated. And if people heard that idea, it would be a whole new thing to them because they've just always told us that thing about, oh, isn't it wonderful they did this, this, and this, but they never told us why.
Mm. You know, I just had a conversation with someone I'm going to interview. I'm going to interview very soon. A Hispanic male, spent a lot of time in jail, but he and I were having an interesting conversation about the Constitution. And I'm always brought back talking about civics 101. Imagine a world where a group of people say over and over again, the Constitution was not written for me. The Constitution was written for them or for white people or whatever the case might be. Usually it's always the Constitution was written for white people in mind. And we were talking about incarceration rates or how police have abused their power or abused certain people's constitutional rights. And my response to that was, well, what do you expect the police to do if the person that they're violating doesn't believe the Constitution protects them? The police know that. The police are well aware that there are certain groups that don't believe the Constitution applies to them. So expect the person who has that authority to abuse your constitutional rights if you don't believe in them.
That's really interesting. You're saying that they're giving up the protection that the Constitution offers.
And that is applied to everything we're seeing. The authoritarian government persists by people who don't believe in a system, you know, in a system that, in other words, says the Constitution is a group, is a basis of laws that protects itself from its government. So I say this to the African-American community all the time. I'm going, oh, you don't think the Constitution is built for you? Then how do you expect to use it when you're having your constitutional rights being violated? I don't have constitutional rights. Well, then expect them to be abused. Because the person who's abusing them knows you don't think it applies to you.
Right. So you can't use it to your defense.
Yeah, you can't. If you can't use it to your advantage, people will use it against you.
So that's brilliant, Reese.
It is true. It just is true. And I talk to police officers and I say, listen, there are police officers who will literally ask a person to give up their ID when they know that they have no constitutional right to give their ID. Why do police officers do it? And he told me right out, police officers know these guys know nothing about the Constitution. They don't even believe it's for them. So the police violate it.
Yeah. That concept of what makes it for everyone, in particular the underclass, those who have been the underclass. I mean, if you look at American history, there's this evolution where each class comes into the country, each group of people comes into the country, and they're the ones who get the short end of the stick, and then they evolve into a place where they are advantaged because they get a chance to get their footing and they realize what America is all about.
Right.
And they work their way through those problems. It's that ability to work your way through it that is the gift of America. And what you're saying is if you don't know that's your gift, then you don't get to engage in that transaction where
exactly.
You take it for yourself. And what a horrible, I mean, it's a wonderful construct to look at it that way and understand
right.
that dynamic. But what a horrible thing for them, because the great gift is that we are always moving towards justice. We are mm-hmm. always evolving on the liberty scale.
You can't exercise a muscle you don't know you have.
Mm.
And that's what the problem is. In order for us to get, like, people keep talking about we are having our rights or our civil liberties taken away from us. We have got to stop. Sure, we have to point at the government that's abusing those things. But we also have to point to or talk to the people who are giving them license. You know, and I had a huge argument on this show about Alex Jones, which people got very, very angry at me about because they thought that I was standing up for him. And I told them it's not what it's about. But if you permit anyone's First Amendment rights being taken away, you can't argue when it's someone you like, because, you know, you've already let the horse out the stable. It doesn't matter whose horse goes out the stable. It's letting the horse out the stable. It's a grander thing. Once you allow them to do it to one, it doesn't matter who it
yeah.
is. It's whether a person you like or not. They can allow it to anyone. Soon it is going to be you or someone you love.
Sure.
And then you're going to say, hey, what happened? And you're going, hey, remember this guy you hated? Well, if we could do it to him, we could do it to you now.
And it's really not about the individuals. The premise is that we benefit from having the free flow of ideas so that all ideas get to fight it out for the winner. Just like everything else in a market-based society, we want to market for ideas. So
yeah.
you have to allow Alex Jones's ideas to flow
right.
and let people agree on that the abhorrent ones need to be ignored or
right.
crushed. And mm-hmm. But realize that Alex Jones might be the conduit through which a great idea flows one day.
Yeah. So what? And I think the bottom line is we have to acknowledge that part of the problem is, you know, this is not happening in a vacuum. The government isn't deciding in and of itself or on its own that we are going to start violating people's civil liberties. They are testing them out. They're testing the waters. And there are people, a large constituency of people, who are saying, okay, have at it.
All right, we got to go. That
Thank
was
you,
awesome, Reese. Thank
oh,
you,
my
sir.
My pleasure, man.
We'll talk to you again
next week.
All righty. Have a good one. I'll see you tomorrow. Let's check in with Mark Christopher, BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Mark.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.